Well, greetings. It's good to have you here this morning. And we welcome each of you that are with us, wherever that may be, by way of internet today. May the Lord richly bless you. And it's a joy to share with you in the unsearchable riches of Christ. So I trust that the Lord will just open the eyes of our understanding together this day and throughout the Lord's body. And in such a way that he himself become the very focus and the very awareness of our heart. For some time we've been talking about in these sessions and in others as well, concerning the reality of being in Christ, not concerning the reality that we are in Christ, but concerning the reality of being in him, concerning a new state of being. Every day we are made aware of a natural state of being, one into which you were born of a woman, one into which you were born naturally, into your natural family by natural mother and father, a state of being. And we're very aware of that. It's very difficult not to be aware of it because of the senses that are employed automatically without thinking, without getting up and reading 10 steps on how to do it. I mean, you wake up in the morning, I don't know all of the little thousand micro steps, but, we wake up in the morning and boom, we become aware. We become aware of a very natural state of being. We become aware of where we are, things that are around us. We become aware by our senses. By our senses. What we taste, what we touch, what we hear, what we smell, what we see, these things. And it's just automatic. Boom. Boom. And to a large degree, we are motivated concerning those things. What should I put on? Seems to be raining outside. We just become aware of that state of being. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm trying to just get us to stop and think a moment of how aware and how motivated we are of the state of being that we can see. And there is a natural necessity to that. And yet that state of being is continually passing. Many of us are found trying to cause it to pass much slower. Maybe it's just passing too quickly for us. And there's all kind of things that we employ to try to slow that passing down, or at least try to slow the results of it down or the appearance of it down, just to try to slow it down a little bit. We're very involved with that state of being. And someone said, well, you know, Brother Lumen, I mean, you know, that's our state of being. I mean, you know, it's just natural to do that. Well, yeah, it is natural to do that. No one said it wasn't natural. I didn't say it was unnatural or that it's automatic unless your senses are damaged, in which case your observance of that state of being, of that environment, is hindered. And certain things being hindered cease to become real big motivating factors because it's just kind of like they don't exist. Because maybe they don't exist because maybe you don't see them. It's like, and I'm familiar with these kind of things, like walking across unlevel country or country out here around us and, you know, and not see that big hole that's in front of you until you're laying on your face. You were unaware of it. If you hadn't been unaware of it, you probably would have walked around it, took more time getting in it. You wouldn't have fallen on your face quite so easily. This is all in a state of being. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, just kind of looked at it? Because that is the state of being that most believers, and I spend my time talking to believers, most of it. Now, I'll talk to anybody, and I don't really know on some of these outreaches and where they go, who I'm talking to. But my intention is to talk to believers. And most believers find themselves trying to serve God on the basis of a natural state of being. I don't know how to say it any differently. Trying to conform certain things, trying to make better certain things, trying to do certain things and trying not to do certain other things. That's what I'm talking about. Trying to, from within that state of being, serve God, conform certain things with regard to that natural state of being, conform them to make them spiritual or to make them more spiritual. But see, the thing about that state of being, there is nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing spiritual about it and nothing that you can do to make it spiritual. Nothing. You're either spiritual before you got here this morning or coming here didn't make it so. We're either here for a reason that has already worked in our heart, an established truth, an established state of being, or we're here trying to make the state of being that is natural conform to something that is spiritual, and that don't work. That don't work. You can make it do what folks call spiritual things, but you can't make what is not spiritual conform to that which is spiritual. It just won't do it. In other words, all the things I can do in the natural, spiritual thing, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray 3 hours a day, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. There's nothing wrong with any of that unless I'm trying to use that to make me spiritual. And then it won't work. It won't work. Those things can be done by those who are spiritual, those who are those Well, those who are spiritual. But they will be done not to try to become spiritual, they'll just be an expression of it. There's a difference. There's a difference. The state of being that we've been talking about here and the one that many of us have been talking about for a lot of years, a lot of years. Some, and maybe some of you that are watching this morning or with us, have been doing most of our adult life talking about this particular state of being, which is called being in Christ. Now, that's over and above being in this room behind this desk sitting on this stool. Because in a little while, I won't be here. I will, however, be in Him. Now see, that can just be so surface. I mean, it can just come up to be talking points. And I think with so many, even many that present this reality and word, it is kind of like talking points. The thing that has been on my heart and in my soul working for weeks and weeks and weeks, I mean, in an unusual way, in a way that I can't help, has an immediate purpose to it. Because the Spirit of the Lord will do that if we'll allow Him to do it. He doesn't let us just blindly walk off the cliff. He leads, He guides, He directs, He prepares you. He prepares you in Christ for anything that you might face that is not necessarily in Christ, that is in this world of sight and sound. Circumstances, situations, and all of that. But He also works to bring you into a greater comprehension of your being in Christ, whether there's anything going on or going to happen at all out of the ordinary. He does that. But for a period of time, it is something that I haven't been able to, you know, to say, okay, that's finished, I'll go on to something else. I just keep being dealt with concerning some of the things that we're looking at. We began to deal with what actually is the reality of salvation. Salvation is not us being saved one place and living in another place. Salvation is all in one place, in Christ. It's not like that salvation is here. You know, I have salvation here on earth, and one day if I maintain salvation or whatever, I'll go to heaven. No, salvation is in heaven. Salvation is in Christ. Salvation is in a new creation. Salvation is in an altogether different place than my soul had ever been before. And that is union with Christ. Another thing, another place, another reality, another world, another creation. It's called all of those things in the Bible. Because that's what it is. It's another state of being. Now, because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that doesn't mean I don't wake up on Mama Earth every day. Where it's cold or hot or wet or dry. Yeah, I'm there every day. But the work of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God's working is always toward that I wake up on earth in heaven. That I wake up in my house in Christ. And that there are things in that natural realm of which I become aware by natural senses. But that even in the midst of becoming aware of that, there's always a greater awareness. There is this awareness of a certain thing in that visible creation. But in my soul, it's always, yes, but I am in Christ. Yes, but that's not my life. Yes, but a circumstance, a situation, something that is pressing. Yes, but. That will pass. Well, there's things we need to take care of. There's things we do in our daily lives. I mean, you know, you understand that. I mean, you know, I'm not telling you that isn't true. But it comes down to where our consciousness is. What are we more conscious of? What we can see in the natural or what? Or what we are seeing in the unseen reality of Christ. I mean, you can read what Paul says. He says, if we're looking at what is seen, it's carnal, it's natural, it's corruptible. So we're not looking at that. And he's talking about in our soul, in our eyes of our understanding, in what makes us who we are. Over and above the body that we live in. I mean, and I don't want to just really get this strung out, but nonetheless, Christ lives in my soul. He is the very life, existence. Oh yes, it becomes new as to its existence. He becomes that to my soul. Gives that soul purpose, reason, all of that, far it even being created of God. But the soul is newly created in that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Honey, salvation is a tremendous thing for our soul. It enters into a world that it has never known before, period. I mean, since the creation of Adam. It enters into another world, a new heaven, a new earth, a new creation, not made with hands, not seen with natural eyes, but more real than anything that could be seen, because if it can be seen with natural eyes, it was made by natural man. I mean, it has some kind of naturalness to it. Christ lives in my soul. I live in this earth vessel. What life, whose life am I living? Am I in this earth vessel? Well, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In the knowledge of whom are we living? In the faith of whom are we living? Now, it's something I'm faced with every day. It's something that many are faced with every day, maybe everyone. Well, I only have one life. That's true. That's true as to the truth of my salvation. Is that the awareness of my heart? Is that the awareness of my understanding? The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. How occupied is our heart with the faith of the Son of God? There is no one questioning here this morning. There's no one questioning you as to whether you being born again now, being born from above, there's no one questioning you as to whether Christ is in you. I'm declaring that very frankly, very fully. But every time I do that, and I've done this for a lot of years, every time I do this, I think, and whether that's right or wrong, it works in me. I think, am I declaring something that is factual, that I'm convinced of in the Scripture, that I've found the right rendition of? I mean, whatever. I'll do all of those things. Am I declaring this from a personal view of Jesus Christ that has cut me down to the center of my soul, that has wounded me more than wounded, has brought me to an understanding I am dead and I have no life but Christ? I mean, out from what kind of an understanding am I making these declarations to these precious people that are sitting before me or listening to me in some way or another? Am I sitting up here quoting facts of religion? Or is this an experiential, soul-motivating, all-governing reality of Jesus Christ working in my soul? Now, hon, maybe you've never been faced with that. I'm faced with that, and more so at some times than others. It hits me. It hits me. Because I know the transition of salvation is a real transition, darling. It is not signing up with a church. It isn't taking on a religious venue. It isn't all of the stuff I could sit here and say it's not. What it is, it's Christ. But it's not Christ in theology. It's not Christ in some mystical way. It is Christ, the eternal, ever-living Spirit of God. Spirit of Christ. It is Christ. It is this same Jesus that walked in the flesh, now living in you, now living in my soul. Do I know Him? And that word know has got to go deeper with me than a theological awareness. I mean, that the teaching of that is true. And so it must be true. And we want to teach things here that are true. And we want to teach them in a way that is true. And all of that, certainly, why wouldn't we? I'm talking about me. I'm not so much talking about even what I'm sitting here saying to you this morning. I'm talking about what is behind what I'm saying to you. Do I have any idea what I'm talking about, really, from the face of Jesus Christ? Now, the Lord Jesus would say, I say nothing to you but what I hear my Father say. Can I actually sit here right now and tell you I say nothing but what I hear the Lord say? I declare nothing but what I know Him, have seen Him to be. If it is not working to the transformation of my heart and soul, I keep my mouth shut and don't talk about it. I mean, see, these are things that I used to, long years ago when I first started preaching in the Pentecostal realms, and anyway, I used to be concerned about, you know, did I preach a good sermon? People would come up and say, "Oh, good word, brother, good word, brother." Now, I could care less. I don't think I could care less. But it's not about preaching a good sermon. It's just about trying to speak to the Lord's body from heart to heart trying to say what there's not really words to say. I mean, there's not words. I don't know of any words that I haven't used a million times. But yet we speak and we share one with another. The Lord may just stir up our hearts to the point that we'd say, Father, deal with me in this matter. Father, open my eyes in this matter. The reality of being in Christ. The reality of being in Christ. And what we've been talking about is the realization that comes with the understanding of our being in Christ. And not all of this comes to our heart. Not all of this is registered in our heart at the same time. Well, because we're talking about an eternal reality that will be, that is ongoing forever, hon. Forever. It's ongoing, certainly, as long as I'm in this clay body, and I can't believe that it stops with my departure. Because I depart in the same union with Christ that I'm in right now by virtue of Christ being in me. Why should me departing from this clay body change anything with regard to that reality or with regard to that realness, with regard to that union? Right now I have that union. I, being the soul involved here, have that union with Him, being the indwelling Spirit involved here. I have that right now. Why should departing from this earth body change any of that? See, and it won't. And it won't. How, that isn't, I'm not going to cease to be the body of Christ at that time. Because the body of Christ is not a bunch of bodies. I used to say all the time, sweetheart, we have bodies, He has body. And the bodies we have should be busily serving and being used for, in every way conceivable, the body that we are. The bodies we have one day will lay down and die. The body we are is eternal. Because it has to do with our soul. The whole point is, are we as the body, one body, more aware of that one body that we are than we are aware of the bodies that we have? And we have been talking along those lines. Where is our awareness? Where is our motivation? But if we're not careful, if we try to carry some of this beyond our understanding of it, then it almost becomes legal. It almost becomes thou shalt not. It almost becomes somebody having to tell you and me what to do and how to do it, when it should be done and all of that. And that's, you know, that's not what we're after. We're after that presenting your bodies a spiritual sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Actually, one of the better translations I've ever found, just for the understanding of the words, is, you know, presenting your bodies in spiritual service. And that's not somebody sitting on a stool up here preaching. This spiritual service, service of the Lord. Paul calls it vessels of, righteousness. Serving that understanding of Christ. Well, present your bodies, which is your reasonable service. And it does, to me, make sense that the body I have should serve the body that I am. And depend upon the quickening power of the indwelling Spirit of Christ. It quickens our mortal bodies. But the indication there in the context and in the language is that he quickens that mortal body unto spiritual service. Quickens us unto service. Quickens us because our life is not of that, and we don't find the reality of righteousness in that body doing or not doing anything. But Paul lets us know that if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from among the dead dwells in us, and he does, as the resurrection of the life, we're not debtors to flesh. He shall also quicken our mortal bodies unto service. It is our bodies being used of the Lord, not trying to do something to be righteous, not trying not to do it, not going back into the servitude of the law, but actually being used of the Lord. And that's what Paul is talking, because he's talking to people that that are really bound up or in a time of where the Jews are serving the law, and they are doing that very much in the various things of their body, even down to the circumcising of it. And so Paul is just showing that we're not debtors to the flesh, but that our life is in the Spirit, and it even involves our natural bodies. Some will lay hold of that and try to build a doctrine around it, but then you have to really add a lot of words to it, take it totally out of its context if you say that means that there's coming a day when he will quicken your mortal bodies and raise them up and make spiritual bodies out of them in the resurrection. First thing, the resurrection is Christ himself raising up his one body, and hasn't got anything to do with a lot of bodies. But also, that isn't what Paul is talking about there. He's talking about being quickened unto service. Quickened unto service. We'll just leave that at that point. That body which we are. And so we've been talking about different realizations, different things we come to see, to realize, with regard to our union with Christ, and therefore with regard to our union one with another. Because the one is the substance of the other. Our union with him is the only union we have one with another in Christ. The other is some kind of a union that we would have in the flesh. And, hun, at its best, that's an Adamic union. Though I'm not going to go off down that road, but I mean, that's true. That's what it is. We come to perfect union. We come to the perfect man, which is Christ. which of these things is the reality of our soul, of our heart, right now? Which of these things that creation in Christ and that which is without? Which of these things is motivating? Is motivating. So, to read here again what we've been looking at, is not only the realization of being in Christ, in our union with Him and in one another, that comes by the Spirit of God. Same Spirit that brings, see, hon, the same Spirit whereby we are born from above, the same Spirit by which we are baptized into Christ, that same Spirit of God, Christ working in us by, well, His Spirit, Christ living in you, Christ living in you. And that is the same Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit, that's Him working in you, the reality of Himself. Whereby we grow up into Him in all things. Whereby we begin to live daily in these earthen vessels, live daily in this world out here, in a whole different understanding. We live on earth in heaven, on earth in Christ. And we do so by the working of that Spirit who is in us. So the realization that we've been looking at, that we that we're faced with, because that realization just keeps growing, is that we are not many, but one. Not many, but one. Because in our natural state of being, in this seeable world, many numbers, you know, to some people, many can be five people. To others, many is 500 or 5,000 or 50. It's numbers, it's counting. And we see ourselves as part of that many. We just do that. And in the natural realm, I guess that's what we are. But not really. See, that's something we don't see, that we don't understand, but the natural realm is that we're all one there too. We're just Adam. One Adam. That's it. No worse, no better, no nothing, just Adam. Adam, who has no entrance back into the garden. He has no entrance in type and shadow. He has no entrance in reality. He cannot come into the kingdom of God. He cannot do it. There he is. And there we are in him. In a natural existence. The only way not to be in him is to be in Christ. And the only way to be in Christ is to come by way of the cross. Now, we've said all this before. I know we have. We say it all the time. You probably know it. I mean, But there's all of these, of this reality to that. There's all of this reality to know we are not in Adam. We are in Christ. But that cannot just be a firm statement on my part or anybody else's part. That's got to be a living, quickening, working reality in my soul, more so. Than my reality of this natural creation right out here. The senses of my soul must be the governing, motivating senses, not of my natural man. Because natural has nothing to do with my life in Christ. There's nothing natural about the one who lives in me. Nothing natural about him. Darling, he stood with these disciples in a body that they could see and all of that. He stood with them. And he spoke to them of these very things that I'm talking to you about. He spoke to them, but he could not take them there. He couldn't take them. He couldn't take them beyond the law. He couldn't do that. Not without going to the cross. Not without taking the whole thing to death. He couldn't do it. He couldn't live in them. But he told them all what we read. Honey, the stuff we read right here, the stuff he told them. Right here in the Gospel of John. Right on the whole thing. And yet he was talking to them about something that they could not see, hear, taste, touch, feel, but that was coming in the reality of himself. He didn't talk about it as spiritual things that they were going to discover. He said, I will come. I will live in you. I will not leave you comfortless. In that day you will know. I mean, this is what he said to them. Well, thank God he lives in you. He lives in you. You never saw him on the seashore. That same Jesus lives in you now, just like he lived in them. But there's a whole different understanding involved. He has brought us beyond the veil of flesh, so flesh isn't going to help me here. He has brought us beyond natural birth, so natural understanding isn't going to get it done. This same Jesus we're not many, we have many bodies, but we are one body. Why? Because we're also many souls. But we have only one spirit in each of those souls. And that one spirit is Christ. And that one soul then lives in a body, earthen vessel. My whole question today in my heart and speaking out of it is, I'm living in an earthen vessel. In the knowledge and the understanding of who? And see, a lot of folks, and our time is out, but this opens up a can of worms, because a lot of folks are mistaken. They think that we are saying, and that others that are teaching Christ are saying that we're an incarnation of Jesus Christ, and he's living in my body. Well, we're not an incarnation of Jesus Christ. Christ, by his eternal spirit, lives in us. Christ, the eternal life, the eternal resurrection by his spirit, lives in my soul. Lives in my soul. It has nothing to do with an incarnation. I live in this body. The question is, in the knowledge of who? The life that I now live in the flesh. Paul says, the life that I now live in this earthen vessel that I'm talking to you about, I live in the understanding, in the knowledge of, in the light of, the countenance of, in the faith of, the Son of God. I live in this body knowing I have no life but Christ. Consequently, the way I live in this body will be an expression of that. I will live in this body in such a manner. What kind of a manner? A manner knowing I have no life but Christ. A manner knowing Christ. Everything of my life is Christ. I will live in this body knowing the difference between me and this body, knowing the difference between the soul and the body. And I will live in this body knowing the difference between the spirit and the soul. I will live in this body knowing Christ liveth in me. And it gives this body purpose beyond me living my own life in sin in it before Christ was there. Oh, yeah. yes, honey, I had a birth in sin. And my life, my conversation was very much there. And Christ was very much not there. And my body and my soul was just a slave to sin, having no real purpose that was anywhere near eternal. It was all very self-centered. What else could it be? But you see, salvation is so totally different from that. And I'm just wondering, darling, do you and I, are we beginning to get a hold of it? Not in our natural understanding, but to get a hold of the Lord. Is it beginning to work in us by the Spirit of God? The difference between the first birth and the second. The old birth and the new one. The difference. Because you see, the earthen vessel hasn't changed, and we've been trained to look at it and to understand by it and to do everything in relation to it, and it hadn't changed. We have this in earthen vessels. And I know that's why the religion world, the Christian religion world preaches, well, one day it's going to change. Why? Because they know they're motivated by it, and they want an excuse for that. Be motivated by it till we die, and then the Lord's gonna, He'll resurrect these bodies, and then we'll be able to walk on streets of gold, and here we go. But you see, that's not the answer. The answer is the soul transformed. If Christ governs the soul, He also governs the body in which the soul lives. Why? Because He's governing the soul. So we don't have to die. We don't have to get rid of the body. It doesn't have to be some kind of a spiritual thing, the body. It's just an earthen vessel. But there's a new life in it. There's a new one living. He's living in my soul. And whatever dominates my soul dominates everything. My soul. My heart, my life, my reason, my motivation, they're all located there in my soul. Coming from one understanding to another, coming from one motivation to another, that there, not many, but one. And that is because there is only one who lives in every truly born again believer. One Spirit, that's it. And if our soul is truly bound, and when I say soul, I have to go into the understanding of our soul, the truth of our soul. There's no anything given of God and shown of God and revealed of God in His Son is the truth. It's something that is already true, already done. Now He shows it to you and I as a as a work that is finished in its completeness, and it needs nothing added to it. But I can yet be totally, absolutely dumb-headed, ignorant of it. And so we have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of truth, having drawn us to Christ, having dealt with us in the birth of Christ and in the union of Christ, coming to be. This same Spirit leads, guides, directs in our soul concerning all things in Christ. From a natural point of view to a spiritual. From the point of view that is Adamic to that which is Christ-centered. We often say to the Father's point of view. And we come to see ourselves as what? As we are seen, known of the Father. How are we seen, known of the Father? In Christ. Paul says it all the time. I mean, in one way or another. And one of my favorites is, honey, if you're risen with Him, if you're seated with Him, He is sitting there in union with the Father. If you are sitting in Him, if you are risen with Him, since then you be risen, then set the attention of your soul on knowing Him. Then put your affection on things above. Honey, there's only one thing above, the one who says, I am from above. You are from beneath. I am from above. Above is defined as who He is. It's not somewhere, it's someone. The lofty one. The one who is above. Above. Above earthly. Above Adamically. Above. That's Him. Set your affection above, on that which is above, the one in whom dwelleth all things, all fullness, the one in whom is hidden from the natural all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and under my Lord God. Set your affection. I mean, since then you're there, since then you are risen. And do that, and not on things on earth. Why? Because as to all of that, you're dead. And your life, the actual life, your life is hidden with Christ in God. How do I see my life? How do I? When He who is our life shall appear, shall be revealed. The words there are that. You can turn them any way you want to turn them. It's shown to you, becomes apparent. is made manifest. He appears. He is revealed. When he who is your life is made manifest. When he who is your life appears. He appears in the light of glory. He appears in the light that he is. The word that is used there for its true justification requires the word apokalypsen, which is revealed. One is to disclose, the other is to demonstrate. That which is revealed in you is made manifest in you, opening the eyes of your heart and soul. The light of God shining in the face of His Son. It's a glorious thing. The Scriptures call it a glorious thing. It's a work of the Spirit in your heart. It's a work of the Spirit. If we dwell in heaven, if we live in Christ, then why should we not be involved in the work of the Spirit, which is eternal? See, I'm not sitting in Christ like I'm sitting on a stool up here. It's an ongoing, glorious salvation. The likes of the fullness of which I do not know because I have not seen, but I shall see. I shall see. Hallelujah. I mean, the expectation with regard to our salvation is the sureness and certainty of it. I mean, not wanting to see what hasn't yet come or something that isn't. No. But to see that which is, always is. But in the allness of that, there is an eternity to see. Oh, honey. And maybe I'm not even talking about the things, seeing the things you haven't seen. Maybe I'm just talking about seeing the thing, the one, the light that you now see in a way, in a depth, in a flood of fullness that you've never seen before. It isn't something always new. But Christ is the newness of all things. See, we just run around ourselves trying to put it in words. It's Him. It's Him. It isn't someone who must live in us. It's the one who is in us. It's not somewhere we must be. It's where we are now. But an awakening to that is so bound up with, if we were only talking about theology, I'm sure we could learn it all, get it all down. But we're not. We're talking about Him. We're talking about God our Father. We're talking about the living Son of God. Hun, we're talking about knowing Him. We're talking about, Lord. We're talking about a soul created of God and redeemed of God. Learning, knowing the fullness of God. Because the fullness dwells in us. My word, what a salvation, what a union. The reality of being in Him. It'll never end. Now, I might finally get off of the theme of it, but it'll never end. This isn't the first time that I've been corralled of the Lord back to in Christ. And that episode that I had with it in 1969 in India may well have been about the first episode, but it certainly hasn't been the last. The reality of being in Christ, and I know the realities that come with that, and I know they begin to be the government of the manner in which you and I live, how we think, how we look at things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed become the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you for the abundant, unsearchable, unspeakable reality of our salvation. Oh my. Open the eyes of our understanding. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Thank you for the hearts and souls that are set on knowing you, set upon sharing you, set upon growing up into you, that in them you may be glorified in all things. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your body. Thank you for the part of that body that you have established here. Thank you for the parts of that body that you have established throughout the earth. May we ever have a voice to them. May the word, go out, going out from here, go throughout your whole body and around the world. May it open our hearts and eyes together to behold, as never before, the salvation of the Lord. Blessed be your precious name. Folks, thank you for being with us. In our Sunday morning session, and both here and you who are with us by way of internet, the Lord richly bless you. Remember last week of June the 24th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, Monday night, beginning Monday night, with a time of fellowship and gathering together here Monday night, and then Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, we're having two services every morning, and one then at night. We will probably have other things in the afternoons that will be announced here at the conference time. You need information concerning this Bible conference. It's an annual thing here every June, and we always try to get it on the last week of June. Get in touch with us through email or phone call or in any way that you can, and let us help you in any way that we can. If you need information, please contact us. So June Bible conference, starting June the 24th through the 28. If you need information like are there motels available and so forth, well, there are, and we'd be happy to give that to you. So just let us know, and we'll continue to be talking about that conference. I just think it'll be a wonderful time of gathering together and the sharing together of that which is Christ. So we look forward to you being here with us. And may the Lord richly bless you. You who have been sending to help us get this gospel beyond ourselves, throughout the body of the Lord Jesus, thank you very much, because that's why we're here, that we out from this place may reach throughout the Lord's body with that gospel, which is nothing less than Christ Himself. So thank you so very much. May the Lord bless, and look forward to seeing you next time. If I'm not mistaken, I'll be in Virginia next week, and yes, in Tazewell, Virginia next week, but we'll still have the Sunday sessions here. Next week, and Brother Bird Raven will be in charge of the service next week, and I don't have any announcement from anybody because I haven't talked to anybody about what's going on next week. But I will be in Tazewell, Virginia, and the reason I said that is that some of you are watching, and so those meetings will be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and yes, that is Easter Sunday, and look forward to seeing you who can come to those meetings there in Tazewell. That's when they will be, and that's what brought me into this whole announcement anyway. But our session, if you can't be there, then you can be with us in our Sunday sessions here. Amen. That's it.